All right. Well, good morning. I have a scripture, I think, that encapsulates everything Christian Americans feel in the last week or so. And it's this. I'm using New King James, if that matters, ahead of time. We're going to go to Psalms 137. I'm going to start at verse 1. So it begins, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, yeah, we wept, when we remembered Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there are those who carried us away captive, asked us of a song, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion." Does anybody know what's happening here? The Hebrews were caught. In fact, it's been a while since they've been caught by the Babylonians. And the Babylonians, who, even though they were their enemies, they nonetheless appreciated the Hebrews. They liked their culture. They liked their music skills. And they also liked to have a good time at somebody else's expense. And so they're saying of the Hebrews, like, hey, you guys are, you remember that one song you used to sing about David killed his thousands and, you know, sing that for us, you know, basically making fun of them. They're in defeat, and their captors are saying, hey, sing that one song you guys always sing about never being beaten. What was that again? Go ahead. We're like, we're ready. Does anybody feel like that? Nobody's going to answer. In prayer for this for quite a few months, and then with seasoning on the thoughts in the last couple of days, I feel God would give you encouragement. I don't feel encouraged. Well, that's one of the reasons why he'd give you encouragement. We are God's kids. We've not ever been forgotten. In fact, more attention gets paid to us when we're not doing things quite the right way because he loves us. That's a God who's closing in on us, not backing away from us. So what do we do in times like this? I wanted to give a kind of a reality check and remind everybody two pressing things. We really are at war. And I don't mean this side of the aisle, that side of the aisle. That plays in, of course. The big war. There is a God who made an eternal home for you. His blessing is so big and so heavy that even as we live here now and the earth is, oh, there's places of beauty. There's mountains you can go to. You can spend time outside and you just can't help but conclude, oh my gosh, God's awesome. This is so beautiful. You walk around any even national park and you're just blown away. There's a reason. But what's funny is you're blown away and you're not even seeing the glorified finished product God is going to make this earth if you read the Bible, where Jesus restores it all, scrubs it all of evil. God's blessing is so heavy and has so much momentum that we're thrilled by the fumes of what was. So, I want to remind you, there is a devil who just despises you and me and God. He can't get God. Really, he can't even get us, but has permission from time to time to torment us, build us up. It must be okay because God's allowed it. But in a way, he can get at God. He can't harm God. My Bible says that fight lasted as quick as a lightning stroke. But he knows who God loves. That's you. So if I can't get to you, I can go after who you love. And that's what he spent the last so many thousands of years of humanity doing. If you want a title for the sermon today, I came up with More Snakes, Please. The word calls us to be as shrewd as serpents. I think as our cultural enemies are literally laughing right now at how things have gone these last many days, saying things like, "Hey, you prayed for your candidate, didn't you? How'd that work out?" Little smug smile. Doing vast outspending of us for key issues, having the media on their side, having culture on their side, having tricky ways of going about winning the battle on their side. And we do the sheep thing and are gentle and helpful and loving. That's obedience. God asked us to be gentle as doves. He also said to be as cunning as serpents. What I'd like to get across to us today in this war is an encouragement, first of all, that we are on the winning side. Absolutely. God said it. So, I mean, even if you go back to the basic foundation of everything, we are on the winning side. The only way you can be kicked off the winning side is if you leave. How great is that? You'll win if you just stay. That's it. You don't even have to make the weapons. God provides them. You don't even have to make the battle plan. God co-opts your thinking, and he allows us to do things because he wants us to share in his glory. But he already did all the heavy lifting. All we have to be is here. I have Hebrews 12. We're going to go quite a ways on this. There's so much here. And we're starting in verse 1. "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. Let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." I like how they put this as a race. The example they're using is athletics. When you go to a football game, it's crazy how people get whipped up for their team. It's insane. If you're not in the bleachers, if you're one of the players, I always watch a baseball team. Somebody's up to bat and the catcher's behind them just messing with his mind. You know, just saying distracting things, just talking them down. Has the physics of the ball changed? No. The pitcher has always had the same skill. That's not changed either. The batter can do what he can do. But behind him, this catcher, who, according to the rules of the game, can't touch the person up to bat, as far as I know, he's saying things. And if that person up to bat is listening, first of all, what's being said behind you is meaningless. It's just a distraction. But even the lending one ear to hear what's being said is taking away from the excellence of what his goal is. Hit the ball, get around the bases. Our race, you have people on the sidelines, and what's funny, they're just not town people along the race route, which is funny. Run for the Diamonds goes literally right by my house. When it starts, I can't go shopping. I can't get out. It's a moat of people that I can't drive through. On this race route, he mentions we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. You know who that is? I'm going to take some liberties here. Not only is it our team, it's the other side. Everybody's watching what you're doing. You have a call from God, and just like that umpire trying to mess up the batter's game, the peanut gallery, who has no power over you because you belong to God, nonetheless can get you to think his way. He'll yell things from the side of the street. "You're not going to make it 4 more miles." And what you don't remember is if you go around the bend, the finish line's only a quarter mile away, but you've forgotten because you're sweaty and your heart's pounding, you're going to die. If you listen to that voice, you will not make it. There's not 4 more miles. All you have to do is run basically down to the stream. Is that a quarter mile? Yeah. God has it so sewn up If you are discouraged this week, don't be. I mean, you can be. There's a time for it. The word says there's a time to, you know, celebrate and to mourn. But don't forget, the author of your life isn't surprised at anything. There is not one voting machine that can be reprogrammed in a way with 10 million lines of code that the maker of every atom isn't aware of what's happening and who's doing the typing. There's a book I read some time ago. It's a CIA book, and I've read like 20 of them, so I don't remember which one it was. But there was a place little bit after the Vietnam War and middle of the Cold War where the CIA was, because they have an unlimited budget, they were buying incredible weapons, giving people incredible training, setting all these things up. They would get these Navy SEAL trained, Army Ranger trained political people, activists, rebels from, you know, pick a Soviet bloc country like Yugoslavia, Hungary. The one I remember is Hungary. Is there anything in your recollection that's so impressive about the country of Hungary that you're always saying, like, they're just, you know, the cutting edge military force in the world? No. But we were at a time sending, we would bring into America hundreds of escapees from the communist regime. We'd train them. We'd fly them over in these stealth helicopters, these sneaky transport, nighttime drops, all these things. Every time the plane would open, the parachutes would go down in the middle of the night, best training on earth, best weapons on earth. Every single one of these paratroopers would be caught and killed. They'd do it again in another country. They'd do it again in another country. And over and over and over again, every last one was being mopped up and killed. You can have all these things on your side. For example, in the war that we're in, that's not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual war. But if there's an element inside your life, or in the case of my story, if there's an element inside the government that is allowed in, that's doing evil work, it can ruin everything. Turns out, there is a man who, acting very politely, tell me if this doesn't sound like an angel of light. There's a man who worked hard, worked his way up through the CIA, got a top position, and all the training in the world wouldn't have mattered because each and every time they announced, we're going to do this thing, the bad guy in the same office with you would call the army, call the communists in Hungary or Romania or wherever and say, hey, 2 in the morning, there's 5 transports coming. They're dropping 250 Hungarians. In the battle that we have, I would suggest, if we are to be clever as snakes while maintaining our innocence, that we do preserve our innocence. There is so much of our walk and how things go for our country and how things go for our lives because we have everything so developed, but we've allowed something in. We've allowed that enemy agent. In the case of my story, it was an unknown person. But in the case of our lives, how much of what we're suffering from is because God wanted to do a thing, but there's a sin we did not let go, or we held dear and kept, even though God's prompting, hey, let this go. I want to take everybody in your camp further. We kind of hang on to it. I was thinking how all in our enemy is. And our success and our fight against the enemy, it leans on God. He's given us the victory, but the rest of our efforts that we owe God is if our enemy is all in, and trust me, he is, we also should be all in. Somebody was talking about, I don't know if you ever, who all's techie people, but you know what TikTok is? Baby YouTube, kind of. If it's in any phone of yours, get rid of it. I'll tell you why. It is there for a purpose. YouTube is advertising dollars, entertainment. They want to make money, and they do. There's a lot of great stuff on YouTube. There's a lot of garbage, but TikTok is something else. TikTok is a nonstop stream of pies in faces, tripping down steps, juggling, yodeling. Nothing wrong with the yodeling. It's a thousand little things purposefully packaged to cause an intellect, and a young American intellect, to die the intellectual death of a thousand cuts. What, Bill? What? There's a senator who calls it digital fentanyl. What does that mean? It is built by Chinese media companies, run and owned by. They also have TikTok in China. In China, the law is it cannot be viewed by any citizen for more than 40 minutes a day. Why is that? What we get to see is the all-out buffet. It's encouraged. It's there with the hopes that enough people blow enough of their day 30 seconds at a time that you just have a collection of mush in your head as a preteen or a teen or, God forbid, an adult who dumps movie lengths of time in that every day where you're watching a thousand things going every direction and there's no cumulative benefit for you, the viewer. There's a reason why their country forbids most of the topics and content on the platform that we are given. Is that a rabbit trail? No. And I know rabbit trails. Okay. If we are to succeed and do well and do all out all the things God intends for us, which come with massive prizes for blessings, I mean, unbelievable, then we have to take some clues from our enemies, know our enemies. The people that want you wasting your time all day long and dumping all of your viewing time into a collection of 600 nonsensical and sometimes dangerous things. My Bible says take every thought into captivity. Why every? Well, because it's critical. If you don't, if this much of your resources, your money, your time, your life is set the right way, but you allow a destructive 5% in there, does this 5% have the power to shrink to 95%, to sink to 95%? It does. There's a reason why all the things in culture we're seeing now are being shoved upon kindergartners and preschoolers. If we're not all in, if we're not as clever as serpents, we're going to lose out. I'm not saying we're going to lose. The battle's been won, but we could have so much more. Again, God's done everything, but he wants to glorify us with him. We're glorifying him, but he wants to share it, or he could, if he wants total success, he could just wall us out and get the thing done he wants to get done, but he chooses not to. I have, if you could put up there, 2 Corinthians 10, you're going to start at 1. 2 Corinthians 10. There's the scripture, but I think more powerful than the scripture is the lead up to him telling you what he wants to tell you. Listen to this. Tell me if you don't detect the urgency in this. Now I, Paul, myself, pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence I am lowly among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beg you, that when I am present, I may not be as bold as that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some. Before he even starts, he's removing himself from the equation. Like, listen, it's me. I'm being humble. I'm begging you. Listen to me. Please stop. Put your phones down. Listen to me. They didn't have phones, but those of us, I may not be bold with that confidence, but which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. He's acknowledging, like, we're here, you know, the things you can do in the world really matter. Definitely vote. Definitely research things. Definitely teach your kids. But ultimately, the other side of the coin is the whole war is not according to the flesh. That's me, not Paul. Okay, we're at verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. How'd that come out? And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. I do a little programming from time to time, mostly for myself, because it's not my livelihood or anything. But here's a condition in here. Being ready to punish all disobedience, there's God's intent, but here's the condition. When your obedience is fulfilled. What? So some things in the world might be bad and stay bad until you're obedient? That's not good if you're being disobedient. Again, Paul, before he sets it out, points out how important the next paragraph is by saying, listen, I know I'm college educated, he was, in their sense, but put that aside, I'm begging you, listen. Our weapons of our warfare are not carnal. It's an important point, or he wouldn't have spent so much time building it up, saying, forget me, listen, pay attention, grabbing our faces, saying, are you listening? In the whole thing, if you feel like I do, you know, as you watch things go by and the media paints the pictures it does, and things appear to not go well, and you just say, we're not winning. We're just not. Listen to this. Let me give you a mile marker. This comes right off the red phone. It's Matthew 10, 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. I'm going to stop there. Do you think when God did that and said that, he understood the mismatch of the one animal versus the other? Was there ever a TikTok video that showed a battle between a wolf and a sheep won? If there is, I don't know. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore, be as wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings. You might even be subpoenaed and brought to Washington and forced to testify and videotaped with things that you're saying clipped out so you look dumb. These things happen. They happened back then. Same spirit, same devil, same motives. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake as a testimony to them, to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, get ready. I don't have my highlighter here, but this is important. When they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given to you in the hour that you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. If things are troublesome, either for you personally, or for people you're watching on TV, what you would call the good guys, saying, like, why can't they just get ahead? Why can't we win? I want to give you this right off the red phone. You are in the right spot. If those things are happening, it's working. It really is. It's great that comes from Jesus. Jesus is God, but when he showed up here, he required a certain amount of protein every day to live, a certain amount of water, had to sleep. He had a human body. He had to do everything we did. The Holy Spirit lives in him. Same one you have. This is great. There's a scripture coming. Let me give you a build up before it. A little timeline, bunch of headlines. Jesus cleanses a leper. Jesus heals a centurion's servant. Peter's mother-in-law is healed by Jesus. That same evening, many more people healed by Jesus. Then Jesus calms a storm. Jesus forgives and heals a paralytic. So all these things, let me give you the foundation of all that. Way before that, Jesus spent 40 days praying in the desert. Ooh. There's all these things available to us. There is the same devil after him that is after us. All these things happened. He promised, you're going to do greater things than I did. That's in there. Look it up. But he prayed. If we are skipping that part of the cake mix, it's not going to work. If we're doing on the other end where we're allowing things in our lives that are destructive to us, and we know it. We know they don't please God, and we're letting them park, and we're giving them a home, and we're feeding them, and it's not going to work. So here's Jesus. If you're worried about your enemies around you, things that don't like your God, your politics, your preborn baby, you pick it, listen to this. Tell me if this is not a good weapon set to have. I'm in Matthew 9, verse 1. So the he here is Jesus. So he got into a boat, crossed over, and came to his own city. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven you." So rather than being blown away, here's the side dialogue. Verse 3. And at once some of the scribes said within themselves, "This man blasphemes." But Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, "Why do you think evil in your heart? For which is easier, to say, 'Your sins are forgiven you,' or to say, 'Arise and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins." Then he said to the paralytic, "Arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." And he arose and departed to his house. Now, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God who had given such power to men. Such power. What if CNN's not on your side? What if your school board's not on your side? And everybody who homeschools, I'm like super envious. What if you do the right thing and you go for the vote for the right thing? But the machine you push the button on, they whisk that away and they spin the dials some way that you didn't vote later on. What if? Well, it says here, Jesus, a man, like we are men and women, who had the power of the Holy Spirit, we have the power of the Holy Spirit, who prayed, we praying. It says, as he's doing these things, he even knew their thoughts. If this is you, it doesn't matter who can whip up a story on a website or make a TV appearance look a certain way. You come prepared and they make you look stupid no matter what because they have the guest panel stacked against you. Those things don't matter. The game is so fixed, and by that I mean for God and in God's favor, that if need be, you'll know the thoughts of the people who are against you. They won't even talk. They'll just be in the grump and you'll just read your mind. Be really encouraged. Really encouraged. We have I was reading, this is, anytime I'm asked to speak, I go into anxiety mode like 3 months ahead of time, and it just runs round the clock for 3 months, honestly. But in that time, you cover a lot of ground, and you see things, and then you show up with too many papers and 75 thoughts, and you have to pick ones out like it's bad, like you're picking which children don't get to live with you anymore, you know? One of the thoughts that got away from me and I didn't bother to use was in Revelations or Ezekiel, where they're describing the New Jerusalem, our prized home destination forever. The gates around the place are named after the apostles. Can you imagine a, what is it, 1,000-mile-tall structure, 1,000 this way, 1,000, I'm sloppy guessing, it's big, I know that, I don't know the cubits. Can you imagine God seeing fit to carve your name on it? Yeah, your name right by the pearls that are the size of a tractor trailer. That's also scriptural. Look up tractor trailer. But the size of the pearl is mentioned in the Bible. Gates that are made cut from a single pearl. And God decided to name that gate Andrew. You know, just all the way around 12 apostles. If you overcome, you're going to share in your version of that. If you give up, you won't. You'll tumble over the finish line. Everybody will be happy you're there and not burning eternally. That's very good, by the way. But what could have been yours will be squandered. Be clever as serpents. The enemy, he can't harm you unless he talks you into harming yourself. And it's been done. Since he can't harm you, be clever as serpents. Know battle strategies against him. Understand what he does. Read about him. Read about what your team does. Don't leave time in your day for 3 hours of pies and faces and cinnamon challenge and skunk pranks. And like, these are all fun and probably very good, but you only get so many hours in a day. Spend it wisely as if it's money. It's time money. When you do, the trophies and treasures and recognition, I think you said it where God was talking to you in your heart about laying crowns at your feet and said, no, I'll just give it back. And you felt convicted that God's saying, like, I'm giving you that. You keep those. Those come from me. I'm rewarding you. That's our place. Our God intends to promote us, bless us, cause us success. And he laughs the loudest when it looks like our enemies have prevented that. And he just flips things around. Unlike any other time, and everybody says this, because, you know, just like they always say every single election, this is the most election and the most important election in American history. You know, maybe each time it's said, that is true at that time. Where we are right now is such a crucial, exciting, dynamic. There's not been a chapter like this. There are people driven by whichever spiritual kingdom they're a member of, and they are playing for keeps. The devil knows this. God knows this. We need to know this too, and act, study, pray, live accordingly. I'm going to close with a prayer here. I ask, Lord Jesus, forgive us for any laziness we've entertained or become accustomed to. I ask God for your mercy on us. Sometimes the world drag race is past us and the battle is over and we weren't even aware that we were being attacked. There's a very clever devil who works that way. We pray, God, that you prompt us to read the owner's manual. We pray that you cause us to spend time with the author. We pray you would help us familiarize ourselves with all the armor that comes with fighting, and it's all necessary. We thank you for the great things you're doing. We pray for your encouragement, Lord. And I ask that anything I've said today, God, that glorifies you and is useful, cause it to stick in our minds. In Jesus' name, amen.